First scripture reading today is 2 Timothy 1, 6. I found no B. So 6 and 7, and then 12B to 14. In the Pew Bible, page 199, up on the screen in the large print, it's on 258 and 259. For this reason, I remind you to rekindle the gift of God that is within you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Remind them of this and warn them before God that they are to avoid wrangling over words, which does no good, but only ruins those who are listening. The word of the Lord.
As we turn to our gospel lesson, if you're comfortable standing, I ask you to do so that we might honor the gospel and hear what Jesus might teach us. They came to Jericho, and Jesus and his disciples and a large crowd were leaving Jericho. Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the roadside. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many sternly ordered him to be quiet, but he cried out even more loudly, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stood still and said, "Call him here." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he is calling you." So throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. Then Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "My teacher, let me see again." Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." Immediately he regained his sight and followed him on the way. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I have to confess to you, I have not been a very good preacher. This may not be a very good sermon. I'm afraid it's a little bit fragmented. I had everything all figured out and knew what I was going to do. The hocus pocus and the pumpkin on the cover. And it was all going to be fun and lighthearted. But incidents on Saturday sort of shattered that. But we should take a moment and acknowledge the cross-shaped pumpkin. What did you think about that? I'm going to try and carve one that way. I'm not very artistic. James, I ought to hire you to do a pumpkin for me. He's an artist. But a jack-o'-lantern with a Christian symbol or the Christ's faith. And the title, Hocus Pocus, is one of Melissa's favorite movies. It's a funny, silly movie about Salem and all of the stuff that goes on there. And it's... her favorite part is the boy that gets turned into the cat and walks around talking to people. It's a fun part. But I don't know if you know that that phrase, etymologically, seems to have come from the Latin during the communion service. You recall that the Roman Catholic Church was in all the service, the Mass was in Latin, even when it got to the point that no one spoke Latin except the priests that were officiating. But it was official that you had to deliver it in Latin until Second Vatican. Is that true? First Vatican. Now I'm not sure. Don't quote me on any of that. But as the priests taught the people that during communion, the elements were transformed. The bread is transformed to the flesh. The wine is transformed to the blood. So it is a magical sort of thing. And there's some incantation that went across with it. And the words, "this is my body," in Latin are "hoc est corpus meum." And the people heard "hocus pocus." And so that idea of some magical incarnation making something happen became associated and became known as Hocus Pocus. Think about that and think about the magical and the fantasy and the different things and how they become intermingled and how sometimes we need to be careful about what is real, what isn't real, what is true in Christ and in God, and is what is fictitious in everything from Iron Man to Spider-Man and all those other things that you will see on Wednesday night. And remember that that night, Halloween, is the night before All Saints. All Saints Day follows, and it is All Saints that are being honored. And so the evening before this holiday of the saints, the hallowed saints, it is the Ian before the hallowed saints. It is hallowed Ian. So here's a little bit of the background on how reality and everything ties together to make things be about what they are. But I think that it's a wonderful opportunity to talk with especially kids about how on that night all sorts of ghosts and goblins and spirits are wandering about freely, but in the morning the spirit, the saints triumph. The saints triumph on All Saints Day. I had a pastor actually who decided that we would celebrate All Saints in costume. Nobody could think of any saints and how to do a costume that anybody would recognize. So it kind of didn't work out. It's a controversial holiday in some churches. Some churches really downplay it as a worshiping of evil and what have you. If it were that, I would be worried some about it. I don't see that as much as an enjoyment. And for some reason, people like to dress up. Costumes and costume parties and for a moment being someone that they aren't. But it comes out of some background in the Bible. The Bible in Exodus says, "You shall not permit a female sorceress to live." And it comes out of that time when the Egyptians, or the Hebrews, as you recall, were in captivity in Egypt. And through the Exodus, remember, Moses led them out of captivity and through the Red Sea. And then they wandered in the wilderness until they came to the Promised Land. And as they were preparing to enter the land, it was not empty. There were inhabitants, and God warned them. This is from Deuteronomy 18. "When you enter the land of the Lord your God is giving to you, do not learn to imitate the detestable ways of the nations there. Let no one be found among you who sacrifices their sons or daughters in the fire, who practices divination or sorcery, interprets omens, engages in witchcraft, or casts spells, or who is a medium or spiritist, or who consults the dead. Anyone who does these things is detestable to the Lord." So a huge piece of "Thou shalt not suffer a witch to live" is about realizing that they were going to be tempted to be integrated into the religions of the people that they were, the land that they were moving into. And so there was strong need to differentiate. I'm not sure that those are things that we need to worry about quite as much today. But there is still a sense of the fear that comes. The fear that comes with the fears of others. Those ones that they were moving into the land of these people that did detestable things and had other worships and divinations and child sacrifices. There became a fear of the other. And the Hebrews maintained their integrity by keeping very strict boundaries around themselves at that point in time to maintain their religion and even maintained it once they'd been conquered and hauled off to Babylon during the exile. But that sense of there's us against them has changed with Christ. That sense of that other is someone to be feared and is distrusted and seen as different or alien is not true to Christ. Now, I don't know about you, but there's been some commercials lately about political things. Have any of you seen any political ads lately or heard any? I have good news. There's only one more week of that. Yay. You need to be aware of just how much of the budget for news agencies that fills. And so be aware that when you see an ad 6 times in 8 minutes, that they're making hand over fist. So that news agencies, we can't blame them for maintaining their bottom end, but just be aware. And stop and think about fear. Now, my sermon's all over the place, and I apologize because, again, I'm going in about 3 different directions at once, and maybe we all are. And maybe that's what happens when something goes amiss and a catastrophe, an act of such brazen evil impacts us. Fear is becoming a tool that's used more and more. Fear is in the middle of things. If you listen to political ads, if you listen to some of the things going on, you'll have one candidate and he'll tell you that, or she will tell you, their opponent, your tax will make your taxes go up. Your opponent will make your health care disappear. My opponent will make you less safe. Now, it seems odd that you'd have to do that sort of thing, but for some reason they work. Those ads, those commercials, those campaigns, they produce results. And as long as they do, they'll be used. We are in a world where fear is on the uprise. Fear of the other, fear of everyone strange, different in whatever ways. And there are more and more ways to find ways that we're different from each other. It seems to be growing, and it is a sad thing. Fear is not what Christians are about. Fall, something is blooming or decaying and it's going. Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy. We heard it this morning. Krista read it. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. Not a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and sound mind. Christ is not about fear and frightening people and forcing them to come to church or else, to join or else, to be converted or else. Christ is about drawing people forward and together through love and through compassion. It isn't just Christ. The Hebrews in Psalm 34, I sought the Lord and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. I found a preacher that had a piece of what I was exploring. I don't know much about him. His name is Richard Bradley. I want to cite him. He said, fear is one of the believer's greatest mortal enemies. There's no greater enemy of our soul than fear. Also, there are few things that do greater damage to us as individual believers or to the church as a whole than fear. I suppose the question of fear is actually a fairly simple one, he says. Who are you going to listen to? And that's a crucial, critical point. Who are we going to listen to? People use fear to manipulate others, to manipulate societies, to do amazing things, and they seem to work. But if our trust is in God, that fear is hamstrung. As we think about what happened in Pittsburgh, there are innumerable reactions. And there will be finger-pointing, and there will be blaming, and there will be people lining up in their tribes and in their denominations and in their political groupings. How about if we don't do that? How about if we say, this was horrible? Whatever happened, it was bad. There are a number of reasons it happened. All kinds of blames to be passed around if we want. But more than that, there are many opportunities for us as Christians, of people of faith, and need for us in the world. need for us to reach out to people with that kind of anger and hatred to do something that horrific. And if that person had been touched at some point by someone, what a difference that might have made. How do we do that? I don't have the nuts and bolts. I trust in Christ to guide us. I trust in the Holy Spirit to be among us. And I hope that we can be about being in the midst of being the change that needs to come. I was watching the news article, and immediately after reporting the details as intricately and intimately as they could share them, they went to an article about safety. Safety in churches, other places of worship. And we think about that. Safety in church, safety in our workplaces, safety in our schools. And we could become a people that build more walls and push away and separate ourselves even further. But then we've turned to that God of fear. We are not those people, and Christ is not calling us to be intimidated. We'll do our best to be safe and to do reasonable things, but we will not be stopped and cannot. We need unity instead of division. How do we do that? It begins one with each other, each of us together, one at a time, speaking, supporting one another, seeing that stranger who might need a kind word, might be needing you to touch them in the way that the Holy Spirit touches you. And you may never know that you have touched someone. How do we go from here? With prayer, with faith, which is the opposite of fear. Again, from 2 Timothy. God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. Amen? Amen. Amen.